Ripley, where's the creep that turned me into a spider-eating man-bitch?
He's gone.
Damn it. You know what? I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of being the guy who eats insects and gets the funny syphilis. As of this moment, it's over. I'm finished being everybody's butt monkey.
Check. No more butt monkey.
You are strange and off-putting. Go now.
See? Buffy didn't feel it. I think you're drawing a lot of crazy conclusions about the unholy prince. Vader.
Harmony, when you tried to be head cheerleader, you were bad. When you tried to chair the homecoming committee, you were really bad. But when you try to be bad, you suck. Eddie, we should do it now.
Well, what do we do if it doesn't work?
Kill us both, Spock.
They're kind of the same now.
Yes, he's clearly a bad influence on himself.
We just need to arrange the candles. Also, we should continue to pretend we heard none of the disturbing sex talk.
Check. Candles and pretense.
It's a jelly one. You want it? Got it. Mine.
Welcome to Yes, Mother, the podcast about the A&E show Bates Motel. Yet right now, it is about Sue watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we are entering Season 5 with this episode, and today we will be reviewing Buffy vs. Dracula, Real Me, The Replacement, and Out of Mind. I'm Em.
And I'm Sue.
Welcome back, Buffy people.
Yeah, welcome back.
This is our first Buffy podcast post-Christmas. And all the shenanigans that happened that time.
If you want to call them shenanigans, that's fine.
By shenanigans, I mean death.
Yep.
This was Sue's Christmas of death, and she lost a few people in her life, and
yes. Including
after
our mother.
It was our mother. And then just this week, we received news that Arthur and once in a while podcast guest Bob DeGrand passed away this weekend. We're pretty broken up about it. We're going to miss Bob. Everyone's going to miss Bob, I think.
Yes, he was big in the podcasting community, you know?
He was, especially the Buffy one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a listener and guest of my McKinley cast. And you could always count on Bob to contribute and have an interesting point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're really going to miss him.
We are. It's very sad.
It is sad. He mentioned his wife quite a bit when it came to Buffy, and I was Facebook friends with Bob, and it said, on his page, it said he was a widower, and so he never talked about it.
I never realized that, because he did talk about his wife a bit, and I didn't realize that she had died. I thought he talked about her as if she was alive.
Yeah, and you know, when our mother died, and we put a little post on our Facebook page, letting people know what was going on, because we were going to be gone for a while. he said something nice to us, and he told us that... Okay, so he wrote on our page, "Sorry to hear that. Real life comes first. Take whatever time you need. Hope you and Sue are holding up well. Each person reacts differently. In my case, I started getting involved with podcasting after deaths in my family. It gave me something to focus on and kept my mind off less pleasant thoughts." Anyway, I just put together that he was probably speaking about his wife, whom he enjoyed very many fun times with Buffy, so I imagine he went to Buffy podcasting to just kind of do something. And Now I like to think that he's reunited with her and they're watching Buffy together in heaven.
Yep.
Because it would suck if it didn't have Buffy.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, that's too bad. Bob will be missed. Yeah, the podcasting community will miss him.
Yeah.
And I like this community. It's a close community.
It is. It's been fun. And he hosted the Clone Dance Party podcast for Orphan Black, and we were listeners to that. And if any of you are listening, you know, Yes Mother sends our condolences to Clone Dance Party podcast.
And we hope you guys keep it up, because you're a good group. I know it won't be the same without Bob, but I think you ladies can do it.
Yeah. Maybe find another veteran or something. And yep. Carry on.
Yep.
I wanted to share my favorite Bob moment. And it actually was not on Yes Mother, it was on McKinley Cast, my other podcast about freaks and geeks. So we had an episode where me and Katrin and Aisha were sparring about what was better, Sherlock or Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha was on Elementary's side, and Katrin and I were Sherlock fans. Not to mention, just like 2 weeks ago, Katrin took up Elementary and totally loves it, so she's a total traitor.
Traitor.
Just kidding, Katrin, if you're listening. I still haven't given it much of a chance, so we'll see. Anyway, so we had quite a little spar going on which one was better, and then we did a little poll on our podcast and on our Facebook page, and we were talking to the people that were like, oh, you're missing out, you know, you that haven't seen it. And Bob DeGran writes, this was on January 25th. I am watching all the TV I have time for. The only reason I was able to commit to Freaks and Geeks was it was a one season. I should have Dexter and Lost ending this summer, so I will be able to watch something else then, but I don't know why yet. And on January 31st, 6 days later, he writes, I watched the first season of Sherlock. I love the modern time setting. I have always been a Sherlock Holmes fan, but it was great fun to see what he can do aided by modern technology. Holmes with an iPhone and Watson with a blog is right up my alley. So 6 days later, after that little lecture about how he has no time for any more TV,
he's like,
maybe
well,
this summer, he could think about maybe picking up another show. Six
think
days
about
later,
maybe fitting it in.
He's watched the first season. And then February 5th, he goes, I finished season 3 early enough that I had to avoid spoiling people who hadn't seen the last episode yet. And timing-wise, that means season 3 hadn't even been available to the U.S. yet, but it had aired in the U.K., so he had found a way to watch it online before it was even available, and so he couldn't spoil any of the U.S. viewers. Oh, I laugh so hard.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's my favorite Bob moment.
That's a great moment. I just really enjoyed having him on when he guested with us and talking about Buffy with him. You know, his enthusiasm was great. And I liked how he got excited over little things I had picked up on. He'd be like, oh, that's good, you know. So one day I had noticed that Tara had, like, hidden that part of that potion or something that when she and Willow were doing that spell and she hid something under the bed. He was really excited that I saw that. And I just love enthusiasm like that.
I do too.
So, yes, Bob, you will be missed.
Yeah, you will be missed. We just wanted to do a little tribute or something before our podcast started.
Yeah, this will be the Bob DeGran Memorial Podcast.
Yep. Okay, we're done with those guys.
Let's hope so.
This is our second memorial podcast in a row.
I don't know. I don't think one of my cats is going to be around much longer. The next one might be the Eddie Memorial Podcast.
The Fast Eddie Memorial Podcast.
The Fast Eddie Memorial Podcast.
Well,
let's hope this doesn't trend.
Anyway, we truly will miss.
We will.
Bob's feedback and things. Okay.
Just trying to get back into normal again after all the mom stuff. I went back to work on Monday. That was weird. But.
Yeah, the kids went back to school. It is weird. It's.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was looking around my living room, and I'm like, I can't believe how much stuff in this living room is stuff that Mom bought me. Like,
I do that, too.
She's everywhere, you know? Like,
she is everywhere in our lives, too. She was a gift giver, and very generous and sweet and thoughtful. And
a good gift giver. She was good at picking out stuff that you would like, you know?
It wasn't except for stuff, clothes.
Except for clothes. She wasn't good at clothes.
She was good at her own clothes, but for my clothes... It was always, like, in the ballpark, but something I would... Mm-hmm. How I always described it was she would, like, pick out something that I might, like, look at, pause at, examine for a minute, and move on.
Right.
But not ever buy.
Right. Right.
She tried. And then it seemed like she kind of figured that out, and...
She gave up on the clothes thing. Although, I do have a couple of sweaters that she's gotten me over the years that I still wear. That I like.
So I have one little, like, Tommy Bahama cardigan I enjoy. Enough to wear.
But, yeah, but, like, on the shelving unit I have in my living room that I have some stuff on, you know, there's probably 20 items on there that Mom gave me. You know? Little boxes and a lip lock and a couple of gargoyles and, you know?
Yeah, and Scout pointed out just last night she had gotten a Littlest Pet Shop stage from you.
Uh-huh.
And she was looking at it, and she's like, Grandma, help me put this together.
Oh, like, yeah, she did.
She sure did. And I'm like, Scout, Grandma sat there in the living room for an hour and helped you put that together. And, you know, just a few days before she died, and she just cared enough about you to sit there and help you put together that little stage for your pet shops. And that's a very... sweet thing.
It is. That was very Mom. She loved playing with the kids.
She did. She was a good grandma.
She was an excellent grandma. Excellent Mom, too. She was good.
Yeah, of course.
So.
All right. It's kind of a downer. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Still only been a couple weeks. Still trying to get... wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we go on to feedback?
Let's do.
All right, so we have an email from Harold. And he says, I am writing this in the aftermath of Bob DeGrand's passing, which has certainly cast a pall over everything. I can say this. As a man who was in his mid-40s when I decided to start watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it was nice to find out that there was this guy out there named Bob DeGrand, who was at least 10 years older than me, who was an unabashed fan of the series. As I went through the series and listened to many different podcasts about the show, there Bob was on each and every one of them. Only a slight exaggeration. I got to know him a little through various podcast Facebook forum interactions. Later, we became Facebook friends. And I recently guested on a couple of his podcasts, so it felt like I knew him, or at least a part of him, really well. It is hard to believe that he won't be sending in more feedback. It is hard to believe that this podcast won't contain a moment when Emily reads that Bob DeGrand writes on the Sue Watches Buffy board that I can't believe that Riley is still on the show and we are having an initiative episode in season 5. On the side, we get Harmony twice, and she is always a delight. Bob, you will be missed. That does sound like something Bob would say. Yep.
So, yeah, in fact, and I don't remember if it was you, Harold, or Bob, or both. No, it was you. Something caught Bob's eye that there's, like, middle-aged men that like Buffy enough to listen to podcasts and write in or guest host with us. And I'm like, yeah, there's two of them in our little tiny, humble Buffy community. And anyway, he was like, it gave him more pause than I think anything that's ever happened about Buffy in his eyes. He was like, wow. Like, it definitely gave him pause that you guys are out there, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
He just never would have guessed. Maybe he should try it sometime.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Nope. Although, B said that Matt, she had him watch Something Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it, and he was like, wow, this show can make fun of itself. And I'm like, what I've been trying to tell you all along, Matt.
You know, I can see Matt enjoying Buffy, actually.
Yeah, I think Matt could get over it.
And just like it for what it is.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I can have a lot of trouble with sci-fi shows and fantasy shows. Because mm-hmm. most of them don't make fun of themselves. And when you can do that, you've got a great show usually on your hands. And Buffy does that great.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe. But later, he also glanced for a little bit on Where the Wild Things Are. So I think he's gone backwards.
Yep, two steps back.
I was like, oh no, you saw that? She's like, yes.
Of all the episodes.
Of all the episodes. I don't know. Anything with, like, well, I don't know. He liked RoboCop, but I was thinking anything with Adam might turn him off quite badly, but.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, who wouldn't be? Okay, so Harold goes on and says, as an aside, I want to mention that since I last sent in feedback, I had a bad flu. Which meant that I spent way too much time sitting or lying down watching TV, which means I watched Lost seasons 3 and 4 and finally got to see Nestor Carbonell. I had forgotten he was in Lost. I kind of forgot too.
I didn't forget.
Yeah, he's Richard. Unfortunately, he didn't have enough screen time in these seasons, but when he is there, he really has a strong presence.
He definitely does.
He does. I don't remember. Does he continue in the next couple seasons?
There's only 5, right?
I think there's 6, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, he definitely continues through the whole thing.
Okay, I thought so.
He gets more and more. Yeah, you know, the first, I guess you don't even see it. He doesn't even show up till 3.
Right.
He definitely gets bigger.
He does, that's right, that's
and
right.
And the mystery about him deepens.
That's right, because he does have quite the arc. In,
yeah.
So, yes. He's the one that we were excited was in Bates. We were like, yay.
Yeah.
The guy from Lost. Okay. He says, as for my Buffy report card. Oh, and we're hoping that Nestor, there's a rumor that Nestor will be at the Salt Lake Comic Con.
No way.
Yeah. Just a rumor.
That would be cool. That would be Batesy.
It would be Batesy. I know. Yeah, just a little side note. My sister Catherine got me and Booker, my nephew, her son, tickets to she got us 3-day passes to the Salt Lake FanX Comic Con that's going to be at the end of the month. And we're really excited. They just announced another Walking Dead. It's going to be Lori Holden is going to be there too.
She was there. Are they going to do a Walking Dead panel?
I think so, yeah, because now they have Steven Yeun, Emily Kinney, and Laurie Holden. So hopefully they get... I would like to see Melissa McBride. I'd like to see Carol.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'd love to see, like, Rick and Daryl, too, but
right.
That might be stretching it. But anyway. So as for my Buffy report card, here are a couple of fun facts that I heard on other podcasts. One, the Dracula that was in the first episode was actually part of a crossover from a Dracula movie that aired on the same network that week. So the Buffy people were obligated to use that actor and his acting style of portraying Dracula. Huh.
Yeah, there's a movie called Vlad the Impaler.
Huh. So that same guy played Vlad?
Yeah.
And interesting.
I have a few more facts about it when we get into it, but not too many, I guess.
Two. Dawn was originally written to be around 11 years old, but then Michelle Trachtenberg got the part and she was age 14, which may explain some weird moments, like when she was distracted with the stethoscope, which strikes me as something a much younger person would do. Oh my gosh, I wrote that same thing. I'm like, isn't she 14, not 8?
I know. I had one of those moments on something different, not the stethoscope, but which one?
I had a couple of moments like that, okay. But the stethoscope one really got to me. I was like, seriously? I mean, like, Scout wouldn't even do that, you know?
No.
She's 9, you know?
I remember what it is. It was pouring all the cereal into bowls to get the prize.
Yeah, that too.
And as a mom, I wouldn't let my 5-year-old do that.
No.
Let alone my 14-year-old. Seriously?
And what 14-year-old wants the prize in a cereal? Yeah, I agree.
They should have changed things a little bit, I think.
I think so.
And a lot of people complain when she's, like, playing life with Xander, and she's, like, has a crush on him, and she gets ice cream all over her face, that a 14-year-old would never in a million years do that. They would not feel that. They would not feel that. Especially if they're around a crush. There's just no way.
Exactly. There's no way. If they've got a crush on a little bit of an older dude, they would not, probably wouldn't even be eating ice cream in front of them.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. So, yeah, there's a few of those, and they kind of fade. But it is. The first few scripts, I think, were written before they had cast her.
Hmm. Well, they could have tweaked a few things.
They really could have.
So, he says, as someone who grew up on a Bela Lugosi-style vampires, I was always wondering when one of them on the show would turn into a bat. I've wondered that, too. However, I didn't care much for the gypsy trick explanation given by Spike or how well Dracula fit into the Buffy world.
Yeah, the gypsy trick explanation, kind of lame, but I didn't mind how that Dracula fit fine into the Buffy world.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I didn't like the gypsy trick thing either. He says, well, Sue, I kind of warned you about Dawn when I mentioned Cousin Oliver was coming in season 5.
Oh, boy, we had little giggles.
I bet you did.
I mean, we didn't, like, giggle about it on Sue Watches Buffy, but whenever we'd write something about all the Cousin Oliver stuff, we were like, hee-hee.
I didn't know this was going to happen. Like, wow. He says you will have to wait until season 7 to see if the Great Gazoo will also come true.
Now, what was the Great Gazoo?
The Great Gazoo was this little green Martian that showed up in, like, the final season of the Flintstones cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
So stupid.
Or Scrappy-Doo.
Yes, Scrappy-Doo's another good example. There was no reason for Scrappy. Scooby was great.
Yep.
He says, I think it is interesting that Emily set up this block of episodes so that you don't get any explanation for Dawn. Oh, sweet. So there is going to be one? Because I kept writing down, where did she come from?
Yes. And
like, are they just going to ignore this? They're not doing something stupid like she's been in a boarding school or something, are they?
All I'll say is no. It's a good explanation. And it's coming very soon.
Okay. It's a good explanation? Like, they get away with it?
Yeah.
Really?
They totally do.
I have no idea how they could possibly do that. We'll see. Okay. I guess that will give you something to talk about. Personally, my first time through, I liked it because I felt like this was a twist on the way that shows will add a Cousin Oliver, or an even better example, Ralphie Cifaretto from The Sopranos, who suddenly was sitting next to Tony in season 3 like he had always been there.
Another Sopranos reference that goes over my head.
I know. I need to watch it. I only saw like the first couple seasons.
I don't know if he's saying interesting and like, I don't quite agree with your choice. But I thought it was perfect place to end this. I like that we can talk about Dawn and you don't know yet, but you got enough of it. I mean, we're not dragging it out. We didn't drag that out for over a month.
Right. Right.
And, okay, for the potential cast, now, this is a time when I was still watching along.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently on, like, the potential spoilers page, the spoilers got together and decided in all their feedback to pretend that Dawn had always been there and that the newbies were crazy. And as a newbie myself, it was just, no disrespect, guys, if it was your idea. It only served to make us mad. Because we knew darn well she hadn't always been there.
Right.
And to go weeks and weeks of just having everyone pretend she had was just aggravating.
That would be annoying. I agree.
It was just really aggravating. So it didn't quite work. And I think everyone else reacted the same way, the newbies that are actually on the show. It was just like, come on, you guys.
We're not stupid. We know she wasn't there.
We're not four.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it was fun to dream up and fun to do, but as someone that actually lived it, it was like, okay, whatever. Anyway. So you'll find out in this next block of episodes, and also I thought it'd be fun to end it the way Out of My Mind ends. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about in season 5. I love season 5 so much.
you can set them up as however you want.
Anyway.
So, yeah, no, I don't mind that I had to stop and not get an explanation of Dawn.
Well, Bip, you finished it today?
Yeah.
You can watch it in an hour or two.
I know. Well, I need to listen to the Carol podcast first. No, maybe I'll watch it. Okay. Alright, so Harold says, it seems like most of the fandom is anti-Dawn, but not me. I like how Dawn just fit in like she was always there, and how each character on the show had their own distinct relation to her. And I like giving Buffy an annoying younger sister to deal with. I liked that too. I mean, at first, you know, Dawn showing up was like a huge what the bip moment for me, obviously.
Right.
And because that is something I just had no clue.
I believe it's one of the biggest what the bips in TV history, actually.
It's gotta be. I mean, and I just, at first, you know, I'm like, oh, they've got to explain this. Please explain this. And then when they weren't and they weren't, I was like, all right, I'm just going to go with it then, you know? All right. And so I kind of liked Buffy being annoyed with her, and I liked how she and Tara played Thumb War, and I don't know. I just got into it.
Good.
I was like, I can either let this really bother me or just go with the flow. And I went with the flow. So,
I will say I'm not anti-Dawn. She's not my favorite character, but I'm good with her. I'm fine. She does some annoying things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely not anti-Dawn. Anyway.
So he says, on the other hand, I know I was not happy to see that Riley was still in the cast in season 5. Yeah, when I saw his name in the opening credits, I'm like, seriously?
I believe when I saw the name in the opening credits on Buffy versus Dracula the first time, I cried angry tears.
He says, my first time through, I was convinced, like Sue was, that he would be jettisoned. However, by the end of these four episodes, it does seem that time is running out for him. I thought it was a pretty meta moment when Graham told him that he didn't have a place in Sunnydale. He was essentially telling him that he doesn't belong on the show.
Yes.
Yes, I caught on that too. And this whole time, I didn't realize that guy even had a name.
He barely deserves one.
Quick bites. It was nice after the muddle that was season four that the writers gave Giles and Xander some direction and purpose.
Amen.
Yes. Xander is grown up a bit, getting confident in his carpentry, and has moved out of the basement into a sweet apartment. And Giles is given reasons to get up in the morning, both his new business and being a watcher again. Plus, the gang finally has a place to gather and research again. Harmony is a great comic villain, and I like that Spike listened to Buffy's plea for help and immediately used that information to try to get the chip out of his head. Spike and Buffy have great chemistry, so I'm rooting for more scenes like that dream sequence.
They do have amazing chemistry.
They do.
Especially in light of her and Riley's just awkward chemistry. Not good.
Yeah, and I had written before that final scene in the Out of My Mind episode, I had written just randomly, I'd totally be down for a Spike and Buffy date. Because I think, yeah, it's when she and Riley are fighting and he's like, I don't know. She's like, if I wanted someone dangerous, I'd be dating Spike or something. And I was like, I'd totally be down on that.
Please, please date Spike.
That would be awesome. Anything but that.
Anything but you. Yeah. I'll have more to say on that subject later, but yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just was going through I just edited our last podcast, and I talked about how I wrote little blurbs about Buffy while watching it on my blog, and that I promised I would I would say my thoughts, because they're not very long, about season four, as I had them as I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
And so I did. After I edited, I went through and looked at them, and there's not very many, but I thought I'd read them. Well, first I put, finish season two and a lot of three. Having a great time with it and watched some massively enjoyable episodes. Interested to see where this goes. And then, my next one was, I have seen little Buffy this month, but have seen the first handful of episodes of the fourth season, and I hope it gets better. And then the next time I wrote about it, I said, and I didn't write about it every month, so these, it's not about every moment. I only watched three episodes or so last month, but one of them almost made up for everything that I didn't like. Loved it. The show has made me kind of dislike some of the characters as it goes on, as they morph and change. But one character is just getting better and better and more interesting. Wish he was in every episode.
Spike?
Yes. And I think the one that made up for almost everything was the Something Blue.
Right.
That's my guess. And then I wrote, only watch one episode. The season is heating up a little, I guess. That's all I wrote about season four. I did have a little blurb. I was watching The Wonder Years also. And I just had to share this.
The Wonder Years is great.
Yes. I said, so watching this show as an adult, I have come to a conclusion. Kevin is a little jerk. He is a jerk to his friends, most of all, but really most people he interacts with. Still love it, and am enjoying my watching of this series I haven't seen since it was airing. This was just an observation that must not have made much of an impression on me back in the day. Watching it as an adult, he is a total jerk. I remember now. I just thought that was funny.
Oh, that's funny. I just my favorite Wonder Years character is his brother Dwayne. I love him so much. Dwayne is awesome,
and I love Paul too.
I do. I love Paul. But... oh, he's such a little nerd. I love him so much. I remember when the Wonder Years was added to Netflix, Matt put on his Facebook, he's like, Wonder Years is on Netflix. Consider it already watched. That always made me laugh.
Oh man, why is that so funny?
I don't know, but it is, right?
Yes.
I mean, that was years ago, and I still remember that post. Okay, anyway.
Buffy versus Dracula. This is ranked number 100. And it's the 15th ranked episode of the season out of 22.
Okay. Sounds about right, I would say.
Genuinely love this episode.
Oh, do you?
I do. I really love it. It is way higher than 100 in my book, in Emily's personal list. And I'm not quite sure why.
There were some very enjoyable parts of it. I didn't mind this episode at all, actually.
I find it just fun to just watch once in a while. It's just a fun romp. I love the Dracula references. It's a good book. And it's just kind of fun. You know, 5 seasons into Buffy, it's just fun to have her interact. I just like the idea of her interacting with Dracula.
Oh, me too. I love Dracula. I have been a fan of the Universal Monsters for my whole life. Right. And I love Dracula. So, I was happy to see Dracula, because when you think of vampires, you think of Dracula.
Yeah.
You know?
And, lost my train of thought. I don't know.
Sorry if I derailed that.
It's okay. I have no idea where I was going. Whatevs. Oh, I think I do. I don't know. The look of Dracula, I would have changed up. I would have made him more the widow's peaked, slick-haired. I would have liked that.
Yeah.
Better.
That is, like, one of my ending notes was they could have picked a better guy to be Dracula. I wasn't too impressed with the Dracula.
No, and now you know that it was kind of...
Right.
I didn't read anything that was like they were strong-armed into it or given some sort of, I don't know, monetary gain from USA Network, I think it appeared on. It wasn't even their network. So that's weird.
So, oh, okay. Huh. So they were doing that to get Buffy fans to watch the Dracula movie he was in? Or vice versa?
Well, I couldn't get a straight answer. I didn't delve too far in, but I don't know. I think Harold used the word obligated, so I don't know why they were...
Yeah, that makes it sound like it was a contract or something.
Yeah, I don't know if USA and WB were like a sister company or something.
Could be. You never know.
You do never know. I did read a fun fact that Sarah Michelle Gellar's husband, Freddie Prinze Jr., was going to be Dracula. That would have been awesome.
He would have been a good Dracula.
He would have been an awesome Dracula, and that would have been fun.
Yep. He would have played a good Dracula.
And at some point, they must have had to switch it to the guy that played Vlad the Impaler. I guess it was a TV miniseries. And it's not great from the sound of it.
Yeah, I don't even remember it. That is something I probably would have watched. So either I watched it and it was so bad, I just have no memory.
Well, it could have been that bad or you would have really remembered it.
Yeah, true.
It was just probably
Or just meh. Or they just didn't marketed enough, and I just didn't realize it was happening because I probably had cable back then.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Well, my first note on this episode is, when does Riley go away and or die?
My first note is, cheesy beach scene made cheesier with the music choice.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that music choice was really bad.
It was bad.
And he just looked so... He just sounded so smug and delighted that she threw like a girl. So I love that she just threw the ball.
I love that too.
He did. He was like, oh, he was just so smug about it.
He was. I don't like him.
Nope. What was your next note?
Nothing too exciting about the new opening. Like seeing the gentleman from Hush, but angry Riley is in it. Why? Oh, why? Because seriously, when he's like... I mean, I knew he had to be, at least in the first couple episodes, because they can't just have him gone, you know?
Right.
They have to end his character somehow. But then when I see him, like, as part of the opening credits, I'm like, wait a second. He should be guest starring.
Yes. Angry tears, I'm telling you. It seems so final and awful.
Yep. And then I have, oh no, please don't tell me Giles leaves and someone else comes in. And I'm like, is that the jump shark? Is that why there are loyalists and jumpers? I thought it was going to be Giles.
Well, you did have all those theories about his brain.
That's right.
That's fresh in my mind, too.
Out of my mind?
Yes.
That's right.
It was just Giles' brain for the rest of the series.
That's right.
Well, I have a note before that that said, I don't know, what? I got a little annoyed at Willow for saying she didn't do it about the storm. What do you mean you didn't do it?
Yes, you did.
Of course you did. You were just saying about balancing the elements. Just own it.
Yep.
Anyway.
I mean, we live in Utah. We have seen storms move in pretty quickly. I mean, there are times it's like sunny, and then 10 minutes later, it's snowy. But that was a little too fast and sudden. You know?
Right. I was at a employee picnic once that had... We were at a park, and half of the park was raining and half wasn't. I've never seen that before
I've seen that before. It happened when Cam and I were living on Fort Union. It was raining on our house, but not across the street.
That's so weird.
I know. Like, it was literally raining in our backyard, but if you looked out the front window, it was not raining. It was kind of spooky. I liked it when Dracula introduces himself at the cemetery and Buffy goes, get out!
I love that, too. I love that. That's my note, is I love the Scoobies in the graveyard with Dracula, the whole thing.
I know.
A little fun fact. The vamp who was originally going to show Buffy her dark side was envisioned as just another vamp who rode a horse and was cool. And the writer kept saying, you know, like Dracula, when she'd talk about it. And Joss finally just said, why not Dracula? He's public domain. And it was like, oh, why not?
Yeah, it makes so much sense to
it
have
it. It does, and if it was just some lame, passing through the night, cool vampire that showed her dark side, it would have been a very forgettable, lame episode. But I think they really made something fun with this one.
Yep.
I love Xander making fun of his accent.
Nice. Look who's got a bad case of Dark Prince envy.
I have no interest in you. Leave us.
No, we're not going to leave you. And where'd you get that accent? Sesame Street? 1, 2, 3. 3 victims.
Xander.
Talking about the vampire Lestats.
Oh, man. I know the pimply fanboys who call themselves Lestat.
So great.
I like how she was all excited that she was, like, famous in the vampire world.
I know.
And I love it when Xander says, I wonder if he knows Frankenstein.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Then I have a quote from Riley, and I just, like, didn't even finish it because I just hate him. He's like, well, if the initiative was still around, and then I just ended it with blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut up about the initiative.
Oh, he's saying that they'd have known exactly,
yes,
know,
exactly,
they would have,
yes,
had, like, all the,
right, because they were, yeah, because they had to find Dracula because they know that, they knew that he was after Buffy, you know, but they wanted to do some research, and he's like, well, if the initiative's still around, we could, we have resources, and blah, 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 you know, and I'm, yeah, just like, shut up, no one cares about you or the stupid initiative anymore. It's over.
Especially when you're acting all jealous right away and annoyed with Buffy for even... Just that when they're all excited back at Giles' apartment and telling everybody about meeting Dracula, and he's just...
And he turned into a bat! I just thought it was so cool.
He was just a downer in that scene. Everyone else was, like, eating it all up, and he's...
Right.
He just doesn't belong. He doesn't
belong
in Sunnydale.
He doesn't.
He's not a Scooby.
No. So, yeah, so then the Dracula goes to Xander, and I'm like, is Xander going to be his Renfield? And then Xander eats a spider, and I'm like, he's Renfield!
I love when Dracula goes, you are strange and off-putting. Go now.
Yes.
Honestly, one of my favorite Buffy lines ever. I love it so much.
Yeah. So a couple episodes back, oh, I think it was when we were doing our top 10 movie one, and I had mentioned, yeah, because Tom Waits was in Shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned that you had never seen Tom Waits act. Didn't you see the Bram Stoker's Dracula with, what's his bucket?
Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman?
No. It's on my wall of shame.
What? You haven't seen that?
I have never seen it.
Oh, Tom Waits plays Renfield.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think it streams on Netflix. You ought to, it's a good movie. I mean, Keanu Reeves is cringe-worthy awful.
Oh, what?
Oh.
Who does he play?
He plays the doctor that goes to Dracula's,
oh,
castle. So he's got a pretty substantial
part.
He's
got
part,
a big part.
You know, but he's trying to be this doctor, and when he talks, he's just Ted or Bill, whichever one.
Ted.
Is
oh,
it
wait,
Ted?
No, no.
I can't, it's been so long.
Yes, but, he's Ted.
Okay.
Confirmed in my mind.
I did notice that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 2. Oh, wait, no. Is that the one that...
The bogus, the second one that Harold likes.
That Harold likes. It got added to Netflix. I was like, sweet, I'm watching it. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
Oh, that's funny. I'll have to watch it, too. And I'm sure Harold will watch it.
When I saw it, it made me giggle. I was like, oh, nice. I need to watch it. But yeah, Tom Waits plays Renfield in that one.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I like Giles with the sisters.
Yeah. That is funny.
Yeah. And I liked how the Slayer and Buffy, like, win one out over, like, the spell that Dracula was trying to put, you know, on her. I kind of like that deep down she is the Slayer. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that he showed her her true self, and he expected it to be just and a certain way. But her true self was to be a hero Slayer.
Yep.
I did like that too. Oh, I think I mentioned it to you once, but you didn't remember it because you didn't remember this episode. But when Zanfield...
That's awesome.
When Xander is starting to turn into Renfield, he does such a great job being twitchy. It's just another excellent Nicholas Brendon acting job.
Yes, I agree.
And I love... Riley offers Buffy a jelly donut, and she just kind of looks at it like she doesn't want it. Xander just pops into the room and goes, got it, mine. He just grabs it right out of his hand.
That was funny.
Oh, man, that's funny.
No, he was great, twitchy. I liked it how he was sitting at that desk and that spider's there, and he's talking and looking at everyone, but he's looking at the spider, and then he's just like, bam! he pops it in his mouth.
Yeah, you could just, like, read his mind. He's like, part of me does not knows that it's bad to eat the spider, but I want it so bad.
I want it so bad.
And that part wins out. And, of course, all is like, the Dark Master, Vader. And then he tries to do it again.
And I just liked, even after it was all over, he was still like talking. He kept calling him the Master. Like,
it was just so deep. Yeah, so funny.
I did like it when he comes in after Buffy does Dracula, and he's like, where is the guy that turned me into a spider-eating man bitch? He's finished being everyone's butt monkey.
Yes. You mean the person who gets the funny syphilis? Yes. Yes, this is a great Xander episode.
It is. I thought the Dracula coming back was pretty funny too.
Yeah, keeps coming back.
He forms like that mist again, and she's like, "I'm standing right here,"
and it like disappears quietly,
it, like, scurries away.
Kind of in that vein, I have a fun fact again. You know, when Spike says that the Ponzi bugger owes him 11 pounds? So, Dracula appears again in a couple comics. So he isn't dead. I guess we knew that, though.
Yeah.
And one of them is in a Spike versus Dracula, something that happened pre-Buffy. It says, in a flashback comic book down the road entitled Spike vs. Dracula, it's shown that when Bram Stoker's book first came out, Spike bought it for Drew, and Dracula destroyed it. And that book cost 11 pounds. That's what Spike's talking about.
Oh, that's hilarious, because I was picturing, like, a gambling game, like a poker game or something, and figured, well, 11 pounds isn't a lot, but maybe if he lost it in, like, 1600 or something, it was a lot.
Right. It still must have been a lot for a book, jeez. But books were really expensive a long time ago, weren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know when Bram Stoker's Dracula came out, but... It was a long time ago. Considerable.
Yeah, it was, I would say, like, mid-1800s, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, back then books were expensive because they didn't have the massive print.
Pretty press stuff.
Yeah, and they tended to be leather bound and whatnot, right. You know. So, yeah.
That was a funny little fact. I like that.
I love that. When I'm done watching Buffy, I'm going to read those comic books. I am. I like comic books, and I have heard good things about them.
I don't like comic books, but if I was to read any, it'd be these. Maybe we should read them together.
Yeah.
I mean, not together, like, it's me now.
Let's sit on the couch together and read. I didn't think you meant that.
Well, in case anyone thought we did.
Yeah, maybe when I'm at the Comic-Con, I'll see if they have any, you know, I'm sure Dr. Volz will have a booth there or something. So
I don't know what Dr. Volz is.
It's a comic book shop here in Salt Lake. Oh. It's a really good one.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we can do like how we're going to do for Dollhouse. Just Emily and Sue read the Buffy comics.
And again, we're not going to just read them on the podcast. And,
right.
And then this panel has Buffy.
And here we see.
You know what? I bet there's a podcast out there. I bet you there's some dude in his mom's basement that reads like the X-Men or something. Oh, dear.
Ronnie reads X-Men.
Oh, it's got to exist. It's got to.
I hope it does.
So I like the talk between Buffy and Giles, and I wrote, oh, that's just what Giles needed to hear.
Yeah. And it eased Sue's worries.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm like, sister, what? And I wrote, okay, Fonzie just jumped the shark in his pale blue trunks and leather jacket. Like, that's as shark jumpy as it gets.
Yeah. Just wait, though. Wait till you see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they do this, because I did get the idea. I guess it's at the end of The Real Me, because Dawn ends it how they're in for a surprise, and I was like, is Dawn something? Is she some sort of supernatural thing? I don't know. Is that how they're going to explain it?
I don't know, except I do know.
Well, bully for you.
Yeah, I think there were a few things in this, not this episode, but in the next couple, that just little things that once you've seen it, you're like,
ugh. Yeah. So, but no, all in all, I liked it. Just my ending thoughts are, sister, seriously, they're doing this? How are they going to explain that? And then I put, they could have picked a better Dracula.
I put, that hair does not work on that actor. And they could have lip balmed his lips. I don't know. It sounded like they were trying to make him all sexy. They talked about how sexy he was, and just that hair, no. And his nails were long, no.
Yeah, I mean, vampire Dracula generally is kind of a sexy monster, you know. And yeah, they could have done better. So
they could have done better.
I was
and
excited.
I don't know why his lips had to always be chapped.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah, I just, because I was excited that there was going to be a Dracula, and then when I saw him, I was like, me. But Xander being Renfield, or Xanfield.
Yeah, and having the three sisters, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah. All right.
Well. Real me.
Uh-huh.
Rank number 107. A few rungs down from Buffy vs. Dracula. Ranked number 17 of the series. 17th of the...
Of the season?
The season.
Okay.
Most of my notes are fun facts. Except I did write, Willow needs to calm down. She is dangerously close to condensation. Condescension. Condescension? I wonder what I'm talking about.
Condescending?
Yeah. She's close to being condescending. I just don't know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, I know what it is. It's when she and Buffy are having a little school debate.
Oh.
And she's just kind of like congratulating Buffy on being so smart and...
Yeah.
Studying good. I just
thought,
I mean, it was a cute conversation, but she's a little close to being condescending, I thought.
I agree.
But I did love her occipital lobe joke.
Yes.
It was a great joke, and I loved how it just totally went over Buffy's head, and she just kind of trails off. She trails off on her explanation of the joke, and then Buffy's like, obviously not. Oh, that was really good.
Yep, my first note is, I bet there are people who can really do that one-armed handstand thing on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Well, her stunt double can.
Oh, yeah, because that, obviously, someone was doing it.
I don't think it was CGI'd.
Yeah, true. I guess I thought it must have been. That's crazy. And then I put, is this going to be a bratty sister that I hate?
Maybe.
And then I put, so she knows Buffy is a slayer? I was kind of surprised. I don't know. I'm just confused about this Dawn thing. Because Joyce went so long without knowing. It's like, how does she know?
Yeah, that's true. She must have found out somewhere around when Joyce did, although... You'd think they could keep it from her longer than they could keep it from Joyce.
You'd think so. So, I was a little surprised at that.
I have never thought of that.
I liked it, though, when she says, I'm not going to Hogwarts, haha.
That was a good joke.
Like, okay, that was funny. All right, you get a little point. But then Riley had to come in and ruin it all. I can't believe. He's like, I'm here to violate your firstborn.
Yeah.
I'm like, really, Riley? I know he didn't say it directly to Joyce, but Dawn was standing right there.
Well, what's up with him, like, sleeping in Buffy's bed at her house?
Why is Buffy living at home? That's one of my questions, too, somewhere in my notes, is why is Buffy living at home? Am I not remembering something? Did her dorm room blow up or something?
No, but... She obviously went home for the summer, but school's obviously started again, so...
Right, I get it if you go home for the summer. But they're back in school, so why?
I don't know, and Willow appears to be living with Tara.
Mm-hmm.
I think you kind of see that in the replacement when Xander comes to her apartment. It looks like Tara's place.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a scene where she and Tara are talking and looks like Willow's kind of unpacking or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, strange.
Yeah.
Things change a little bit, but right now I think maybe they just don't know what they're doing. I don't know.
But yeah, Riley coming in, because he's like, oh, Joyce, you look nice. And she's like, thanks, and goes upstairs, and I don't know. Buffy calls him a suck-up or something, and he goes, well, what am I going to say? I'm here to violate your first daughter.
Yeah, worst.
Yeah. What? Violate? That's, I mean...
Just bad.
Really bad. Poor choice of words, for one thing. I mean,
right.
I would think if you've been in a relationship, I don't know. He's just stupid.
For as bippin' long as they have.
I know.
Too long. Way too long.
Yeah. Anyway. Giles here upgraded his car.
What does he say about the stick shift? He just hates sitting there with like
nothing. I know. I wish I would have written it down, because when he said it, I'm like, I feel the same way. Because
Not contributing,
yes.
Such a great...
What I drive is a stick shift, and I prefer it over automatics.
I do too. Well, our father made us learn to drive with standard cars.
Yes.
Because he just wasn't going to have daughters that, and sons, I'm sure, that don't know how to drive them. And so the first time I ever drove a non-standard was at my, like, driver's ed, and it was really weird.
It is. It is weird. I don't like relying on the car to decide what gear I need to be in. I like to make that decision.
I do too. And my car right now is not like that, so it's kind of lame, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And Dad taught us good. The truck I drive is a 95. I've been driving it since 96. Still on its original clutch. Thank
nice.
You. 193,000 miles, original clutch. Cam's dad, it blows him away, because his sister used to have to get a new clutch like every other year.
Oh, man.
They're expensive. So, anyway. But, yeah. Giles' car is nice.
Yeah, it is.
And then I put, of course, Harmony took the unicorn. I was happy to see Harmony. She cracks me up. I love how she is this vampire, but still is just, her mindset is still so high school.
Oh, yeah. She's totally not in the vampire mindset.
Nope. I love how she just sees Buffy as her arch nemesis. I mean, I guess she is, because she's the Slayer, but it seems more like a high school thing. Than an
totally. Actual, and it's than like she's vampire. Forcing herself to be Buffy's arch nemesis.
I know. I love how you're my minions.
And you know, Buffy hardly gives her a thought.
I know. Buffy could care less. Like, she's not even worth dusting. Like, it's like, nope. You're such a bad vampire. Oh, then I have a rant about Joyce.
Let's hear it.
I wrote, holy crap, Joyce is the worst. She pushed Dawn on Buffy and knew Buffy was going to the magic shop. Buffy didn't know someone was going to get murdered, and Buffy made Dawn leave right away. I hate Joyce. And I'm really glad they didn't make her and Giles a thing.
Yes.
That just made me so mad.
It made me mad, especially on top of, you know, you're in shock, the ending of the last episode about take your sister along.
Right.
She says that in reply to Buffy saying, Riley and I are going to the movies. That's her boyfriend. It's a date. Take your sister along.
I know.
Hello?
I know. Mom never did that to us.
No. It's like she's always trying to pawn Dawn off, like she's too busy.
Yeah.
And you don't pawn your daughter's on your other daughter when she's going on a date to the movies with her boyfriend. Give me a break. That's terrible.
Right, right. I mean, I think I went on a couple dates with Amy and Scott, like, to the movies, but I think they're the ones that were like, you want to go? You know?
Sure, and they'd like...
It wasn't Mom like, Amy, take your sister, you know?
No, no, no. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, it just made me so mad, because she forces Buffy to take, you know, Buffy's like, I'm going with Giles to do, you know,
Slayer things.
And she's like, well, that's perfect. Giles can just drop you and Dawn off at the mall afterwards. It's like, okay, for one thing, you don't know if Giles wants to do that. You know,
right.
So you're not only pushing Dawn on Buffy, you're pushing him on Giles too.
Maybe you should allow Buffy to get her driver's license.
Yeah, really, exactly. Well, and it just, she knew, because she gets mad at Buffy. She's like, you took her to that magic shop, and it's like, you knew they were going there.
That's exactly what she told you, where she was going.
I know, it's just, and it's not like they knew the shopkeeper had been killed, and Buffy did the right thing. As soon as she saw it, she's like, Dawn, get out of here, you know?
Right.
So, oh, it just made me so mad that she was so mad at Buffy. I just hate her.
Fair enough. Definitely fair enough.
And then I have Donna's 14 and needs a babysitter. I was babysitting you, Catherine, and Matt when I was like 12.
Yeah. I think they're setting up that Dawn's a big pain in everyone's butt. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured, is that she must get a little out of hand or can't be trusted, I guess. I don't know.
Well, she does prove that she,
you know, she is kind of
stupidly taunted Harmony to come inside. Stupid.
Yeah.
So, I have a couple, you know, we've talked about dream sequences having meanings later on.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one for you already.
Oh.
The crazy homeless man outside of the magic shop when Dawn's been
set out.
He says, "I know you, Curzon Way." This is a reference to Little Miss Muffet, which...
Right.
Faith quotes in the Graduation Day Part 2 dream. She says, Little Miss Muffet, counting down from 7:30. You don't know what that means yet, but...
Oh.
They, in dreams, I think, in both dreams, there's a Little Miss Muffet reference.
Oh, interesting. I did
and
not
that
catch...
Was, that was in Season 3.
Hmm. Wow. That's kind of cool that they do that. Mm-hmm. I did not catch that.
And when they're making the bed, she and Faith are making a bed, and oh shoot, now I don't know if I think that might have been in I don't know. It's the season in Restless or in the Graduation Day dream. Or
think,
you know what, I think it's in the when Faith does the switcheroo body thing.
I remember it.
There's a time when she and Buffy are making a bed.
Right. Because there's a cat on the bed, right?
Yeah, and it's almost sundown, and they talk about taking care of the cat, and Faith also says, "Little Sis is coming."
Oh, yeah, she does.
And you don't... It. The context of the dream, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I don't think you think too hard about it.
No, if I remember right, I thought Faith was like referring to Buffy as her sister.
Yes, I think that's it.
You know.
But yeah, that bed they're making is for Dawn. They're making the bed because Little Sis is coming.
Interesting. Wow. So they had this idea. This wasn't just during the hiatus. Let's add another character. This has been thought out.
Oh yeah, definitely thought out.
Huh. Interesting.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar is the one that suggested Michelle Trachtenberg as Dawn. They worked together and was it Alma Children?
I know I've seen her before because I even recognized her name when I saw the credits.
She was in 4 episodes of 6 Feet Under named Celeste. Do you know who that is? It was in season 4. And she also played Harriet the Spy in that Nickelodeon movie.
I don't see that, but I'm trying to think. I know, because I fairly recently watched 6 Feet Under.
Oh, and you know what? She was also Catherine Hardwicke's first choice to be Bella. But she had scheduling conflicts.
I think she would have made a better Bella.
I do, too. When I heard that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
How different would those movies have been with a different actress?
I think they would have been better.
Could have been.
I mean, as better as they can be.
They were so fun how they were.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't want them to be better.
It's true, then we might take it more seriously.
Right.
But I think she would have definitely been a better Bella, though.
Yeah, agreed. One other little fun fact is, before being cast, Trachtenberg wrote a letter to Joss suggesting ways how she could be put in the show, because she was a big fan.
Like, here's what you need to do, Joss.
I don't know if... I wonder. They don't say. I wonder what her ideas were. I'd be surprised if Michelle Trachtenberg is the one that came up with this Dawn character, but she definitely wanted to be in Buffy because she was a huge fan, and you know, she had done quite a bit of work, and she was a friend of when she was on All My Children with Sarah Michelle Gellar, they were really good friends. They were very close. Anyway, so I think when Sarah Michelle Gellar heard they were doing this Dawn thing, I think she really pushed to get Michelle Trachtenberg for it. Anyway, so they, you know, were going to make her young, but Michelle Trachtenberg was 14.
I know who she was in 6 Feet Under. She, when David's boyfriend, Keith, becomes a security guard.
Yeah.
And goes on the road with that singer, she's the singer.
Is she really?
Yep, yep.
Oh.
That's right.
Celeste, yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, sorry. It just
I'm surprised she was that old for 6 Feet Under. I mean, I know she was a young singer, but...
She was kind of like a little pop star, like a Britney Spears type, so, you know, I mean... So, yeah, because if she was 14 and Buffy, 6 Feet Under was a few years later, so she was probably 17 or 18.
Huh. All right.
Oh, I think Keith has sex with her too, doesn't he?
Something. I don't know. They actually have sex?
I think they do, yeah.
I know she comes on to him. They do, don't they?
They do, because he tells... I always love that about his and David's relationship, because he comes home and tells him, and David's like, well, that sucks. You know? I mean, they kind of had an open relationship, but...
They did,
not...
but I don't think women were
part
of the plan.
I think David was more upset it was a woman than
totally.
That he had sex with someone else.
No, because they definitely had little moments, and that was, like, okay with them.
Right, right.
Open relationship, I guess.
A little bit. Kind of an open... I mean, they were committed, but it was still kind of
definitely.
Open. Definitely. But anyway, okay. Sorry.
Anyway, it's kind of fun that we get a tiny introduction to Dawn, and then we get like a Dawn-centric episode that's kind of through her eyes. You know, and going back through the series and then seeing it again, it's kind of fun that the first time you really get to know Dawn, it's her point of view, which is kind of neat.
No, yeah, I liked it because, you know, if she's suddenly going to appear, she better not just see her every once in a while, because that would be even more confusing. You know, at least have a Dawn-centric episode right away.
Right.
Don't ignore the elephant in the room. You know.
Right.
I did think it was kind of cute that she had a crush on Xander.
Yeah, that just fits. She wouldn't have one on Riley. And Riley, what a jerk is he for calling him... What does he call her?
Kid.
Kid. That's the worst. That's so...
I know.
Don't call your girlfriend's 14-year-old sister kid.
No.
Especially when she says, I'm not a kid, and she hates it. Mm-hmm. He continues to do it.
I know, because he's just a jerk.
He's just a jerk.
He's a bully.
He's a bigger jerk than Kevin Arnold.
And then I have this quote written down, but I didn't write down who said it, so I don't know the context, but someone says it's Giles because he's British and doesn't understand about stuff. It made me laugh.
Shoot, I was sure I'd know your quote, but I don't.
Someone said, I don't know why they say it. It's British and he doesn't understand about stuff. And then I have it's always been this way with Dawn? Because someone says it's always been this way with her. I think Buffy says that. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. She hasn't been there. I love the smiley face over the eye in the note that gets thrown through the window. It says, like, come out, Buffy, you're going to die or something. And there's a little smiley face over the eye.
And I love how annoyed her minions are. Just like, another note. They're just like, why are we this lady's minions?
I just love that one of her minions is named Mort. I don't know why, but it always made me laugh when someone said his name. Like, shut up, Mort. I'm like, Mort, that's an awesome name.
It was a good name. I don't think it's Mort, but one of the minions is actually, what's his name? Link. He was in the Nerdist, and he told me that someone on Buffy the Vampire Slayer is on the Nerdist, and he's that.
Oh, right.
He was always in Vamp Face, and that is not what they're talking about. I don't want to be spoilery, but he plays another part. Totally different. It was just an actor they used for this, and then an actor they used for something else.
Oh, okay.
But that's his first appearance in the show. So going back, after watching the whole show, you're like, oh my gosh, he's one of her minions. Again, different character, though.
But he plays another character in Buffy?
Yeah.
Later on? Huh. I liked how one of them went to high school with him, and Xander's like, is that Brad?
I know.
You're like, shut up, Xander.
Just some of the great Sunnydale moments.
I know, it just makes me laugh.
And he buys her that unicorn because he stood her up.
Or something. Yes.
In high school.
Yeah. I just loved it too when Buffy goes to her cave or lair, or whatever, and dust that one minion with that unicorn carousel seat, and then just looks at it with this mask.
Yes.
That made me laugh. Yep. And then I have Giles is going to run the magic shop. Brilliant.
My thoughts exactly.
That is brilliant to have him run that.
Perfect. Yeah. Yep. That he needed something.
He needed something
so bad last season.
And I always just felt so sorry for the guy that, like, his apartment, his home, just was always full of people just walking in and out. You know,
yeah.
Like, he needs some Giles time.
Yes.
You know, I always felt sorry for him that his house just, at any time, all the Scoobies plus Spike, you know? It's just like,
yep.
Yep.
Were you that bored last summer? I watched Passions with Spike.
I know. Yep. And then my very last note is in for a surprise. Is Dawn something? So. Yeah, my last thoughts on the episode as a whole is still not sure what I think of this Dawn stuff. I like Harmony and her minions, and I love the idea of Giles owning the magic shop.
Well, I have to say, in the history of shark jumping and Cousin Oliver's, what they do gets my approval.
That's good to know, because I'd convinced myself that the eventual explanation is just going to be that Dawn, because, I mean, you could tell that she's really smart. So I was like, they're going to have it that she, like, was away at this private girl school or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that sucks, because that explains us never seeing Dawn, but it does not explain them never talking about her, you know?
Yeah.
Especially,
no, they're better than that. They're better writers than that.
Yeah. I guess I should have had more faith, but I was like, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. They're going to have her at a boarding school, which is so dumb because there has been episodes where Buffy talks about what it was like during her parents getting a divorce. And I was like, and it was always about her, never me and Dawn, or, you know.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I'm just tickled that you thought these thoughts.
Now I'm like, really? Let's just pause it. I'll go watch it and then we'll finish. Because do I find out in the next episode?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I'm pretty sure you do.
Okay. Well, should we move on to the replacement?
Yes. Replacement is number 94. We're all kind of at the same, like, 10 stretch, you know?
Yeah.
We're like, we've gone, like, from 94 to 107 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
These three episodes. Ooh, I didn't write down where Out of My Mind is. I'll have to look that up right now. Anyway, 14th of the season.
Really?
Where would you put it? I mean,
well,
it sounded like that was surprising to you.
14 out of 22. I don't know. I thought it would have been a little bit more popular than that because of the two Xanders.
Which is fun, but I'm just going to say the fact that this is 14th is a testament to how good this season is.
Then there's that, because we're only four in so far, and I don't know what Out of My Mind ranks. I would imagine closer to 22. Spoiler alert. I didn't like it very much. But The Replacement, I did like.
The Replacement's fun, and I have an excellent fun fact for you, which I don't think you have any idea about. Do you know how they pulled off the special effects with the two Xanders?
Mm-mm.
You didn't have any thoughts there?
Nope. I just figured some weird camera trick.
Nick Brandon has an identical twin.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No way!
So, Nicholas Brandon played almost every part where there is a, where he has to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone asked him, everyone's always asking him, were you the silly Xander, or were you the one that was together? And he's like, well, I played both if I was talking, except when they were together at the end and kept talking to each other, that was his twin.
No way!
Isn't that awesome?
That is fantastic, because I did think whatever camera trick they were doing was really good, you know. I had no idea he had a twin. Oh, that's... I'm so great. I'm so glad that they decided they needed to do something with that.
I know! I love it! I mean, they've already done Willow having a...
Right.
A bad vamp, and they, you know, just did it with camera tricks, and I'm just thinking that at some point they were like, they are identical.
I know, that is crazy. They are identical.
So we need to do something with that. I just think that's awesome. I imagine that's what they did, and they came up with this idea, but I didn't read anything like that.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder if the twin ever shows up at the Comic-Cons, if Nicholas is like, can't make it.
He's actually shown up at them, but he's,
there.
Who had a twin that did that?
I don't know. That's happened.
Someone. That's a famous thing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's not Nicholas Brendan. Gallagher. The comedian has a twin, and he...
There's two of those?
And I need to look it up, but I'm pretty sure he got in trouble by having him appear sometimes.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know he had a twin.
I better look that up. I'm pretty sure I'm thinking of Gallagher.
That's funny. I know that Tom Hanks has a brother that can sound exactly like him, and his brother will do a lot of the voiceover work. I guess there's like some video games based on Toy Story.
Huh.
And Tom Hanks' brother is the voice of Woody. Was he Woody? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Tom Hanks just was too busy or something, but his brother did it. And I mean, it was all on the up and up. They knew. But that is great that they brought his twin in. He looks exactly like him. That's so funny. Identical twins are weird.
Identical twins are weird. It makes you want to rewatch it, doesn't it?
It does. It totally does.
At least the ending scene.
They were so cute together.
I know. I loved it. They were cute.
Yeah. My first note on this one is Buffy and Riley are the worst. When is he going to die?
What do they do here that's so egregious?
It's when they go to look at the apartment at the beginning, and they go in the bedroom and start making out.
They're, like, looking at the apartment for, like, 2 minutes.
I know. It's like, that is so tacky.
So tacky.
I mean...
Was it just for the joke? Save it for the bedroom? And it's like, oh, wait, you are in the bedroom. Never mind.
I guess so. I was just like, I hate them, because... You know,
I hate them too so much.
It's like, if you're going to support your friend on an apartment hunting, you want to be on your best behavior.
Yes.
You know, and like sneaking off right away to the bedroom is
just
like,
not
really,
real.
You guys can't keep your hands off each other for half an hour. You know, I don't know. It made me mad. I thought it was rude.
Rude and stupid, and I hate him anyway.
Yep.
I do have a nice thing to say about Riley. And eat it up, because this might be the second time I've done it. I think I did it once before.
I think you did.
His casual delivery of the line, "I had drier food for lunch," was not bad.
Yeah, I agree.
The opening scene with the hot plate incident.
Uh-huh. Where the cat peed on the plate.
The "I had drier food for lunch" wasn't actually not a bad delivery. So, eat it up. Props.
There's the cat peeing on the hot plate. Like, aren't they at the Dove and on? He's like, are you trying to use that hot plate again?
Yeah. When he first wakes up.
Let me tell you, there is nothing worse. I mean, just cat pee alone is a bad smell, but when it's burning, oh, I've smelled it.
I don't think I have. I remember when you did, though.
Oh, yes. My house almost burnt down because of cat pee.
It's a story for another time.
Yep. I thought Giles hitting the demon with the fertility god was pretty funny, but then him demonstrating it to the Scooby gang was even better. It was like, and I hit him like this, and then this.
And then they say something like, so he slunked away or something. It's like, more like, walked out majestically.
Yeah. And I love that they go to the Dove and Spike's there scavenging.
Yep.
Oh, Spike just makes me laugh.
He's getting a mannequin that looks a little like Buffy.
I know. At first, I was like, what is he going to do with that? Then when he knocks his head off, that made me laugh.
He, the mannequin. You see it again.
Oh, do we? Nice. Oh, dear. But I know Xander cleans up nice.
Yeah. What I don't like about this episode is how much they play off trying to trick you that he's evil with the, like, shiny nickel thing.
Yeah.
Too much of that. Trying to misdirect.
Yeah, but to me, it pays off when Xander's so afraid of the nickel, you know?
That is true.
His disc is going to burn my eyes. You know? So, I mean, it comes back around and for a pretty good joke, but I agree.
You're right.
I agree. And then my next note, why is Buffy living at home? And then I love real Xander following the other Xander. Xander's like, his socks are all matchy and stuff.
Oh, man. And they have the other Xander in just the worst outfit. Oh, and not to mention, he's like walking around having slipped in the dump in it. And then wet. It's just the gross. So gross.
No, I'm still wearing that.
I like can't get over it.
I know. And then at the very end, I mean, he's got two of those shirts. They're wearing the same.
I love how they they're like a clearly. I think Giles says they're clearly abandoned.
Yes. I have that written. He's a bad influence on himself.
The, like, good editor gets so into it that he's, like, clothes change. It's just not explained, but such a great detail.
I just love how it's the exact same shirt, dude. So that means Xander has two of those awful shirts.
I think it was more a trick of him being a bad influence on himself. It was almost like he was turning into the same thing anyway. You know how easy it was to keep the spell?
Oh, right,
to
right.
Fix the spell. I think it had to do with that. I don't think he actually changed. Because it's just in the middle of the scene. He's wearing the blue shirt for half of it, and then all of a sudden, when they get all giggly...
Oh, see, I didn't notice.
It just changes to that shirt, yeah.
Oh. That's even better.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch this one.
Yeah.
And the Snoopy dance is awesome.
The Snoopy dance is awesome. Just to let you know, Willow brought up Xander Snoopy dance back in the episode Passion in season 2.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, that's when she talks about how she has to sneak over. Because she's Jewish, and her parents are so Jewish, she has to sneak over to Xander's to watch Snoopy's Christmas.
Oh, right.
And Xander does the Snoopy dance for her every year. So it's just a line back in season 2. And then it pays off season 5.
That's awesome. Because I love the Snoopy dance.
I know, I love it. And he does it great.
Yep.
And I told Sue while we were out in Wyoming for our mother's funeral, there was something that came up. And I told her about how Nicholas Brendon does the Snoopy dance at Comic Cons. Oh, because she's going to one. And I'm like, is Nick Brendon going? Because he does the Snoopy dance.
Hopefully. Hasn't been announced yet, but they're, like, almost every day there's one or two more announcements lately. So it's about 2 weeks away.
Mm. Oh, you guys will have so much fun.
2 weeks from today. Yeah. Oh, we're going to have so much fun. I like Xander's evil robot theory.
Yes.
And I love it how they're at Giles's and they've kind of figured it out and Willow's there and Giles says neither Xander is a demon, and Willow goes, is one of them a robot?
It's like, maybe he's right.
And then Xander's at the apartment with the other Xander, and Xander goes, he's the demon, or possibly a robot. I just love how they don't let this robot theory go.
Well, they've seen a very convincing robot.
True. True. Ted, huh?
Yeah. This episode contains Buffy's ugliest outfit of the entire series, in my opinion.
Oh, what was that?
It's not only ugly, it's just a total head-scratcher.
It doesn't match. I mean,
it doesn't match
at
all.
The top does not match. I mean, the pants are ugly, and the top is ugly, and then together, it's really ugly.
Yes!
And then throw on that pink sweater thing to, I don't know, bring it all together and fail.
It is the biggest fail I have ever seen, and it is the ugliest outfit worn in the entire series. It just makes me scratch my head. Those pants, just, yeah.
Yep.
There it is. That's the worst one.
Good. Because it was bad.
And she's got on, like, nude-colored boots. Yes! She has a fight scene. It's... I just want to know what went on there in the costume designer's mind, because did she have her 5-year-old put it together? It's like her 5-year-old's birthday, and she's like, honey?
Go pick something out for Buffy to wear.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I lived the 90s. I lived the 90s right around Buffy's age.
Right.
And I am here to tell you, it is bad.
You were not nostalgic for the outfit? Like, oh, I remember when people dressed like that.
No! No one ever dressed like that in the history of the world.
Yeah, it was ugly. And it wasn't even from putting two things together that don't match. It on their own, they were all ugly. So together, it was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, every note of the outfit was bad on their own, and putting them together just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Because I'm a fan, if it's done right, I like mismatched prints, you know.
That is hard to pull off.
It's hard to pull off, but when it's done, I like it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that, nope. So, we said it. That's. I liked it when they're trying to explain to Xander that the other one really is him and not the demon, and he's like, he can't be me. He's all fancy.
Fancy.
And I love that Anya wanted to have a threesome.
I know. I love how she starts it as cagey, but then she just ends it by just saying it.
Yep.
She's like, you know, we could, like, go home and have sex.
Yeah. And you can have him back in the morning. Yep. Yep. I know Giles is lying. He's a bad influence on himself. So then, when it shows them at Xander's apartment packing up, and Anya's just sitting there, and Xander hands her a box, and she goes, ooh, presents.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. And I just love that they're Babylon 5 commemorative plates. Okay. Oh, I do have a note. The two Xanders are just adorable together.
Yeah, this is a fun episode. The middle gets a little blah. Just on rewatches, I've seen it a few times, but...
Right. I mean, my ending thoughts are, I liked this one, but would have liked to see more of the two Xanders together. Like, I almost wish it was a two-parter.
Mm. Yeah, because they were a lot of fun.
They were a lot of fun together, especially at the end when they were, like, buddies.
Yeah, and I just love that it's actually twin brothers. It's not just Nicholas Brendan doing it twice.
I know. I just, that makes it even more delightful to me. I just wish they could have put in, like, I don't know, a little montage of them, like, rolling football at the beach together and having ice cream sundaes. I don't know. To, like, Queens, You're My Best Friend. Make it happen.
Make it happen. They could be like watching Star Trek together and laughing.
Exactly. Reading at the comic book store. Just giving each other like looks. Like not creepy looks, but just like, I'm so happy. You know?
Right, or Anya just said something stupid look.
Exactly.
Or if you still had the ice cream truck, one could be driving, one could be scooping ice cream.
Oh, that would be so great. Or building a shelf together.
Yes. One measures, the other one cuts. Oh man, that's awesome.
Yep. To my best friend. Anyway. That was fun in my brain. I just saw it.
I saw it too. Thank you for giving me that vision.
You're welcome.
Because I never thought of that.
Normally I'm not a big fan of montages, but that one.
That would have been awesome.
Yep. Oh, and I do have a, sounds like Riley might be leaving soon. When he she's not in love with me or something.
She doesn't love me.
Yep.
So. Not like he loves her. She thinks she does. She's pretty convinced she does.
Yeah. And I never thought of that until he said it, and then in the next episode, they kind of play it up.
Oh my gosh, I love... There are some things about this episode I love.
All right, so we get to Out of My Mind?
Yep, and I just looked it up. Out of My Mind is ranked number 121, and it's 20th in the series, so, or in the season, so yeah.
That's right, closer to 22.
So yeah, I love them all in the graveyard again at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And Riley really bugs Buffy that Riley's there, and then it bugs her that Spike's there. She's like, why do I even bother to show up?
I know.
And I just love how he says something kind of like, he is welcome there. And she just looks at him exasperated, and Spike's like, ooh, I saw that.
Yep. I love that too. Spike's like, oh, I saw that. Sounds awesome. Like I'm not the only one bugging her or something like that. Yep. And I've got typical Spike says something medicine, then something happens, he falls in the open grave.
Oh, yes. Very Spike.
Yep. And then my next note is, I have a feeling Riley is going to be uber annoying in this one.
Annoying, like, he finds himself just punching a cave wall?
I was like, just because you can't feel it doesn't mean you should be doing that. Come on. He's such an idiot.
My notes on that is, Riley is just punching a cave wall. Buffy, get out now. It's just the stupidest meathead thing you can do.
I know, totally. Like, I don't even feel it.
Exactly. Like, if you, well, just because you can.
I know. It's like you could still like smash your hand and
cause damage. And
I know. He's so stupid. I have that I love that buying salamander eyes instead of newt eyes is overcoming snobbery to Giles.
Obviously, I dig it. Willow, who is being a snob?
I just like how salamander eyes are like the generic brand of newt eyes. Like, they both work.
It's kind of like the box in Angel. The yeah. Blind monks.
Yeah. It's mute Chinese nuns. It'll work.
Not quite as good, but it'll work.
Yeah. And then I have his Spike watching Passions.
No, actually, he's watching Dawson's Creek.
Oh, is he?
And we know this because of the name Pacey, which apparently is a name on that show.
Oh.
It's a boy. His name's Pacey. Can anyone confirm or deny this for me? Because oh my gosh. That's the worst name ever.
It's not even a word. It's,
no, it's not. It's nothing.
It's nothing.
I might be wrong about Pacey. Now I'm getting a little self-conscious. I'm pretty sure it's Pacey, though.
I never saw it, so I could not tell you.
But there is a fun fact about Dawson's Creek. Mercedes McNabb was in it. And it says, as well as many other Buffy actors. So that's funny.
Which one is Mercedes McNabb?
Oh, that's Harmony.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to look up.
Oh, there is a Pacey.
Is there Pacey?
Yes.
It? Wow, that's terrible.
Wow.
I'm sorry, anyone that has that name. I don't mean to be rude.
Oh, and the
character. It's a terrible name.
Oh, it is. And the character's name Dawson? I thought there was actually like a Dawson's Creek, like it was an actual creek that they lived at or something.
I knew there was a Dawson, but yeah, before I knew that, I was pondering that too. It just seemed like it was a, what the, you know, the creek in the town like, is called Dawson's Creek.
Exactly. That's what I always, like, not that I thought about it much, that's just what I assumed.
Right. But I think it's funny, he watches more than Passions, he also watches Dawson's Creek. And he gets mad at it. Come on, Pacey. So he's apparently invested.
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah, I did assume it was Passions, because Pacey does sound like a stupid soap opera name. They've got the dumbest names on soap operas, too.
Well, Dawson's Creek kind of is a soap opera, isn't it?
Probably.
We could... Good enough as one.
Teenage soap opera. And Harmony just cracks me up with her nemesis talk. She's just hilarious to me.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then...
I like how there's docks again at Sunnydale. Someone's got to check the docks. It's like the shady area of Sunnydale. It showed up in season 2 and it shows up again.
That's right.
Makes me laugh.
And is Dawn 14 or like 8?
So yep.
That's the stethoscope part, I guess. Then I have Riley's such an idiot.
I've got, can't Riley just die already?
I know. It's like, I don't know. I guess the Riley is an idiot is him, like, leaving the hospital after the doctor's like, you're going to die, you know.
I mean, yeah.
You can't possibly survive this. And he's like, I'm leaving.
Okay. My next note is far down the road, so.
Well, my next note after Riley's such an idiot is, isn't the initiative over? I thought that dumb guy died in the big ending season 4 fight.
Graham, nope.
Forrest
died, but Graham didn't.
Yeah, I knew Forrest died. I guess I just assumed Graham did, so when I saw him, right. I was like, why is he here?
We all thought the initiative was salted and done.
They said it was. In that little meeting at the end, they were dissolving the initiative.
Promises, promises.
So, what's going on?
They're dragging us back in.
I know.
Boo.
I did like it when Buffy said to him, if you tell me to hurry, I'll kick your ass.
Yes.
Yep. And then I put Riley is probably in that cave eating beans out of a can.
Nope. Punching a wall.
Yep.
And so Buffy goes to Spike to get help.
Mm-hmm.
Just conveniently forgetting that he's not on their side, even though it's funny. And so he gets the grand idea to kidnap the doctor and have him remove his chip.
Which was a great little Spike plan. I did find it very odd that Buffy would go to Spike to help find Riley.
Yeah. She did offer money, but yes.
I did like her move when he says that he wanted half of it, so she ripped it all in half.
I love that, too.
Like, that's such a good idea. Like, well, you got half.
I love how Spike gets so defensive when Harmony says he can't pick flowers.
I know. Yes, I can.
He's like, what? Yes, I can. Don't believe her. I can't. So funny.
Yep. And I did enjoy all the scenes with Spike and Harmony and the doctor.
Yes.
They were great. I loved Harmony just like right next to him smoking.
And she gets so apologetic when she sees a sign. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. She just totally forgets she's a vampire sometimes.
I know.
I like how she's got the itchy trigger finger.
Yes.
For the crossbow. That's pretty funny.
Yep. Like, but I hope the government just swoops Riley away and we never see him again.
Nope. Oh.
And then just my last thing is, no way, this has to be a dream.
I was going to ask you about that.
And it was a dream.
But before that, for some reason, Spike grabbing that tombstone out of the ground in anger and throwing it makes me giggle every time. He just gets mad and he just looks around and grabs his tombstone.
So what... I'm a little confused about what the doctor was able to do for Riley, because didn't Riley take the chip out himself with that jagged piece of glass at the end?
Yeah, but I think, truthfully, I've never thought about it. He did, I don't know.
Because I thought they were going to do, like, total open heart surgery, bypass type stuff. And all he has is, like, a little piece of glass over and he's fine. Like, wait.
It had to have been like a, maybe, okay. So the chip he removed, I'm just going to headcanon this. The chip that he removed himself was just the Adam controlling one. But what's her name? Professor Walsh had implanted other things, like that one to like make his heart, his body work better.
Oh, okay.
You know, she was building Adam out of parts and all this. And then Forrest gets, you know, the fondant stuff. So it's not a stretch that there were other things added to his body to make them more superhuman.
Gotcha. Okay.
That got removed.
That makes sense. Okay.
It just wasn't controlling him mentally.
Okay.
But it's a bad choice that they were in the same spot.
Yeah, that's. I was confused. I was like, he already took the chip out.
So, the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any part of you that thought it could be real for a few minutes? Or a few seconds, at least?
Yeah. Like, the first kiss, I believed.
And then she pulling back, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but when they... the second kiss, I was like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah, I totally get you. It got dream vibey at that point.
It got dream vibey right then. The first kiss, I was like, huh. Interesting. Yeah, that happens in TV and movies where they're passionate about something else and end up kissing, you know?
Exactly. We've complained about this.
We have, yeah.
Was it all Bates Motel stuff? No. I bet it was Cordy and Xander.
It was.
Back in What's My Line.
Yep. So, wow, I kind of forgot that Cordelia was on the show one time. So, I just kind of figured it was one of those things, but then when she went back and they kissed again, then I was like, wait. This has to be a dream, and then he woke up.
Right, and the Buffy, I want you. And he's like, Buffy, I love you. I love you so much. No way.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But I do love it.
Yeah, Spike has some feelings, it looks like. Yeah, my overall notes on this was I didn't like this one too much. Best parts.
It's too, you know, it's too Riley initiative-y.
It is. Yeah, I put the best parts were Harmony and the fact that it sounds like Riley will be leaving soon.
It's not without its merits. You know, the French title is When Spike Gets Mixed Up in It.
Why did they change the titles for other countries?
I don't know. I think much of the time it's just something that just doesn't translate well. Like, Out of My Mind, maybe in America, has its own connotations, but you say that in French and it's like they just...
Right, that makes sense.
A very larger example of this is, who was it? Someone once said that if lions could speak English, we still wouldn't understand them.
Oh, okay.
Because their language is just, their mindset, their language, everything is so different that we still wouldn't understand them. I'm not saying the French are so different, but
right.
It's a very lesser thing that we have our own colloquialisms and things, and maybe Out of My Mind, they just thought totally doesn't translate.
Right. That makes sense.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's the case and every time they change it. I don't know why. Sometimes they explain why they changed the title.
I can see this. So Out of My Mind refers to, one, the chip in Spike's brain getting out of his mind. And then the dream at the end.
Yeah, wanting her out of his mind.
Yeah.
Could it be any Riley feels like Buffy, like he's not in Buffy's mind?
Right.
You could probably go on and on.
Yeah. So.
But I think in, you know, its purest form, it's getting the chip out of his head.
Right. Not child's brain in a jar.
Yeah. Have you watched Dear Boy yet?
Dear Boy.
That's the Angel episode and you came up with it as the deer.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I don't think I've watched any of the Angel ones yet.
Ah. Yeah. It's funny because sometimes they are that.
Right.
That much like that. But you always go there and it's funny.
All right, well, okay, what's my next assignment then?
Oh, Bip. I don't know.
But I will say, just as a wrap-up of these four, I think my favorite thing so far that I have looking forward to is just Giles owning the magic shop. And I'm very curious about the Dawn thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm also curious to see if Xander really was serious when he said he wasn't going to be everyone's butt monkey anymore, you know?
Yes.
See if that was just him being mad that he ate spiders. Or if he really means it. Because he kind of does get the shaft a lot in these things.
He does. He's the everyman, you know?
Right.
Everyone else has some sort of role or superpowers, and he's just there.
Yep.
Or our ex-demons, or vampires, or, you know.
Yep. And I do like that he's found a little niche, like Harold mentioned, the carpentry, you know, that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm delighted, because what I was explaining, I think, in what I was trying to say in just a few words on my blog when I was talking about watching season 4 and how people are morphing into,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't like it. It's, you know, Giles and Xander were a big part of that. It was really
right.
awful to see them floundering so much that whole season.
It was.
And so I'm just delighted that,
I mean, there was,
you know, we're a couple episodes in.
Yeah, I mean, there was fun moments with it, with Xander having a different occupation, like every episode almost.
Definitely. It was fun. You know, it had its moments, but when you sat back and watched it unfold, it was sad.
Yeah.
And it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, well, our next podcast
mm-hmm.
is opening up Angel Season 2.
Okay.
You've already been given that assignment. Judgment through Dear Boy. and then for Group 3, which will be your next Buffy episodes, but it's also going to have some... We've got a little intermingling, just a bit.
Okay.
So there's going to be 3 Buffys and 2 Angels.
Okay.
You're going to start with Buffy, No Place Like Home. And then family. And then you need to watch... You really don't need to watch Guys Will Be Guys, but on Angel, you'll have to watch Guys Will Be Guys. But it's spelled G-U-I-S-E both times.
Okay. So that's a Angel episode.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Darla.
That's an Angel. Okay.
Angel. So you're going to watch 2 Angels. Guys Will Be Guys and Darla, and then you're going to go back to Buffy and watch Fool for Love. And Carol is going to join us for this block.
Okay.
Because one of these episodes is mine and Carol's favorite episodes of the entire series.
Really? You guys have the same favorite?
We have the same favorite. We discovered that. You'll hear it in our podcast.
In a McKinley cast, or... No.
In our last one, okay. When we talked. We were being kind of cagey. But we were like, because we were just figuring it out. They're like, yeah, my favorite might be your favorite. And she's, you know, kind of said the same thing. And it was like, okay. And that's why she requested this group. And then we said that we'd probably... you'd get some pretty big wrath if you hate it. Talking to 2 people.
I'm going to guess that it's Fool for Love. I have a feeling this is Buffy and Spike. I have a feeling there's going to be a little small affair with these two, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm.
You'll just have to
little
watch.
Relationship. No Place Like Home. If it explains Dawn... Has she been living in, like, an alternate universe this whole time? And then family, I don't know.
Hello?
My internet went down.
Okay. I was, like, checking all my internet connections, and they seemed okay, so I'm like, it must be hers.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, just out of the blue.
Happens.
Yeah. So.
Do you know where you got cut off? I think you had just wondered about family.
Yeah, I said maybe family is Riley's family, like maybe he goes back to Iowa. Mm-hmm. And then I said Darla must be about Darla. And then you didn't say anything, so I was like, hello. And then the message popped up that my that recorder I have on here, uh-huh. It said that it was finished recording, and I was like, oh, wait. What happened? So, yeah. And then guys will be guys. I don't know. I mean, I have no thoughts on that one. But sounds like it could be either really good or really dumb. It's based on the name.
Right.
So. Cool.
Fool for Love?
Oh, Fool for Love. I think it's going to be Buffy and Spike. I predict that that's yours and Carol's favorite.
You're right. Why not just say it? You may or may not be right about the content.
Well, I don't know. I can deductive logic this. If it's your favorite episode of the whole series, and Spike is your favorite, gotta be about Spike. So, cool.
I do want to say one thing.
What?
Somewhere in the past, you have made a prediction about this episode and didn't know it.
Oh, really?
Yep. That's all I'm going to say.
Hmm. I'm looking forward to watching it and trying to figure that out. Assuming it's not Giles Brady in a jar. I can pull that one out.
You will actually probably have that moment really quick into the episode.
Oh, funny.
I think I know exactly how it starts out, and I think you'll be like, oh! And you'll laugh. And you'll love it. You're going to love this.
Well, I'm excited. That's funny. I have no idea what I predicted, so. Cool.
Yep.
Well.
Well, I guess. Brr.
We should just end this. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we need to end this. All right, thanks for listening. We're going to end this real quick because Sue keeps losing her internet for some reason.
Yep.
Join us. Give us some feedback. We've got a hole in our feedback with the passing of Bob. Rip Bob.
Yeah, someone needs to replace Bob now. We can't just rely on Harold. So.
Anyway, you can contact us on our Facebook page. We have two. Sue Watches Buffy, and we also have our regular Yes Mother, and we also have email, yesmotherpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. So, all right. Well,
I guess, Sue, let me know when you're ready to record that next Angel one. Well,
yep. Yeah, I've got a lot to watch now.
Yeah. Okay. Are you there?
Make me live. Oh, you're the
He's like, you can't have them. Uh-oh, there might be someone here.
Oh.
Hold on. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, that was my visiting teacher. Got rid of her. Okay.
Oh, Carolyn didn't show up? That's too bad.
I'm sure they're very solicitous of me because I lost my mother.
Right.
They brought me flowers already and stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah, my friends bought me a thingy. A plant thingy.
A thingy.